How are you feeling about your career as a dietitian? Have you ever wondered what else is out there for me? If so, then today's episode is for you. We interview Bonnie Taub Dix, self-made media dietitian, writer, and entrepreneur. She's sharing insights that she's learned about the dissatisfaction of many dietitians. Even better, she shares her story and how her career path kept her engaged and excited about dietetics. Who knows? Her story might inspire you to take the next leap in your career. You're listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast from Dietitians on Demand, created by dietitians for dietitians. Let's get into it.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dietitians Only. This is Sarah Glanz, and today we have another special guest. Probably know her. Her name is Bonnie Taub Dix. Bonnie is the owner of BTD Nutrition Consultants. She's the award-winning author of Read It Before You Eat It, Taking You From Label to Table, which is the best title I think I've ever heard, and creator of BetterThanDieting.com. Bonnie is a media personality, a media trainer for wellness professionals, a spokesperson, a motivational speaker, a journalist, and corporate and brand consultant whose messages are laced with her credible guidance as a lifestyle, health, and wellness advisor, and her wit and wisdom as a mom. Bonnie is a sought-after nutrition expert, and her stories and interviews have appeared on thousands of top-tier media platforms, including Today, U.S. News and World Report, Insider, Well and Good, and Pop Sugar. She is a past spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and she's also the recipient of their prestigious Media Excellence Award. And in addition to being a reliable resource to media, Bonnie takes pride in sharing her love of cooking and her knowledge in the kitchen with her family by setting an example when setting the table to show that nutritious and delicious can exist on the same plate. So welcome, Bonnie. It's wonderful to have you.
Well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, Bonnie is going to be talking about kind of her career journey, but also how dietitians, if you're feeling, you know, burnout or unsatisfied with your current career journey, how you can spice it up with some different opportunities in media. So let's jump in. So Bonnie, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do as a self-made media dietitian?
What I do now? Oh boy. Okay. So I kind of wear a lot of hats. I love working with brands and partnering with them to help them get their voices out in a way that our audiences would understand. And I'm kind of a liaison between industry and RDs and the public. Sometimes I feel like I work for the UN trying to translate things into a language that people will understand. But that is something that I really enjoy doing. And it's interesting because I was asked to fill out a time management survey for someone, for a colleague. And what I realized is that I spend most of my time doing media interviews, even though that is not always something that I get paid for. In fact, it's rarely something that I get paid for unless it's something that I'm specifically doing with the brand. But media knows to come to me because they know that I'm going to give them the answers that they're looking for in sound bites that they could use as is, that doesn't take a lot of editing. And you know, because I've been working with media for so many years and I am media, meaning that I also write my own stories, I love when people get back to me really quickly. So that's something that I really make sure that I do. And that's something we could talk about more later, you know, what makes you more media worthy, I guess. But I think that that's something that's really important. I also do a lot of writing. And for some brands, I do recipe development. I just like to do a lot of things, but you know, mostly what's also something that really is important to me is that I do media training for RDs. And that is something that I feel so strongly about. As you mentioned in your intro, that a lot of RDs are kind of unhappy now. So I feel like media training more than ever is something that could really benefit them. And we could certainly get into that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about a little bit like why you got into media and how you made the transition, or did you start out doing this in your career?
No, it actually is very interesting. I mean, when I graduated from college, one thing that I knew I didn't want to do was work in a hospital. And I worked in hospitals for about 11 years. And while I worked in the hospital, my second job, I had two jobs. My second one, I was assistant chief dietitian, and I was friendly with someone who worked in the PR department. And one day they came to me and they said, hey, you know, it would be fun to do 1-minute commercials for the hospital on a cable network about nutrition. Would you do them? I said yes to, you know, just about everything, because it was like, why not try it? But it was so much fun getting in front of the camera and doing these commercials for them. And then one day, a TV station came to the hospital and said, do you know anyone who would walk through the supermarket and talk with us about how to pick healthy foods? So they just came right to me and they said, listen, you could do this. And even though I was nervous, that was actually my first TV show. And who would know that years later that my book actually is all about walking through the supermarket? By the way, glad you liked the title, but I didn't make it up. My son actually made it up. I handed in about 50 titles for my book and they all got rejected. And then one day we were on the way to a saxophone lesson and I said, you're a smart kid. Can't you come up with the title for my book? And that was the title he came up with and they loved it. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
That's great. Well, tell him I loved it.
I'll tell him. But, you know, so what happened was after doing that TV show, it felt like electricity was going through me. Like I just loved it. And then I wound up doing more and more media because in those days, I know that this is absolutely dating myself, but there was no internet. So TV was the way to go. That's where people got their news. And when you were on TV, there was nothing like it. Millions of people saw you. And I had no prep. In fact, it's funny because I have one of my Instagrams is at BTD Media. And just today I posted something that was the first national TV show that I did. And I love to show it as an example of what not to do, you know, what not to wear, what, the, you know, just like not. So it's if you could find the mistakes in there, I'm curious if people will find the mistakes before they read the caption. But I really started out very early in my career doing that. And because I loved it so much, I wound up doing all different kinds of media and then trying to write for magazines and newspapers. And it really is just a very interesting way that things evolved. And again, you know, it just takes a little bit of encouragement to reach out. And there was a reporter who wrote for Newsday, and I loved the way she wrote. And one day I picked up the phone and called her and said, I love the way you write. If you're ever looking for anybody to interview for your stories about nutrition, let me know. And she interviewed me for so many stories. Then she came to see me as a patient because I also had and still have a private practice. And then one day she said, hey, you know what? Newsday starting a new column. And guess what? It's your column. I recommended you to be the author of this nutrition column. That's how I got my first column in the newspaper. Years later, I was doing interviews for USA Today. And the reporter really liked the way that I would give her answers. And USA Today started a blog and they asked me if I would be one of their bloggers. And, you know, again, these are things that it's not that they're hard to do, but they take sometimes just pushing yourself a little bit to make these things happen. And in USA Today, in fact, they would do full page stories on my book and full page stories with my pictures in there for USA Today. I mean, that goes across the globe. And if you had to pay for one of those advertisements, it would be thousands of dollars for that. So sometimes there are things that people do that you may not get paid for in cash, but you get paid in so many other ways in terms of reputation building and in terms of what it would otherwise cost you to get that kind of acclaim, that I think that it really is something that becomes invaluable.
Oh, yeah. And I think that we could talk, you know, as a separate conversation about the importance of networking, because that's sort of what you're describing is like you sort of prove yourself, you put yourself out there, you show what type of work you do, you show what you're interested in, what your expertise is. And many times one thing leads to another. And then before you know it, yeah, you're in USA Today, you have your own column, you have your own blog. And so like you said, don't sell your, don't, you know, quote unquote, sell yourself short by waiting around for a paid gig, because sometimes a non-paid gig can lead to even bigger things.
Exactly. And, you know, just so you understand, I really grew up shy, much more of an introvert. But what happened was, once I started actually doing these things, I felt like, all right, you know what? I could do that. And opportunities came my way by all of this exposure. But then I just started feeling like, why not make my own opportunities, reach out and make calls and write comments to people? And, you know, you'd be surprised about what evolves from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen that in my own career. And I think as you start putting yourself out there and you get some positive feedback, you gain confidence, and, you know, one thing can lead to another.
I think that this actually is a good segue, because that word confidence is something that has taken on a whole new meaning for me in the past few years. What happened was, a few RDs contacted me and they had a ton of following on social media. They had the opportunity to be on TV or get interviewed for an online interview, and they didn't know what to do. And they called me and I gave them some advice. We were on the phone about what to wear, where to look, how to avoid a sticky question, how to pivot, which is kind of my specialty, how to pivot off of something. Just ask my kids, they know. They said to me, a few of them said to me, why are you not doing this as a business? And that was when I started my media training business. And I think that what disappointed me the most about starting that business is hearing about the lack of confidence that most RDs had. And, you know, they could recite the Krebs cycle. They know so much about nutrition and citing studies and all of this, but yet to get in front of the camera was something that they actually feared. And I think that with the growth of social media and all of these influencers, in quotes, out there that are really talking about things that they should not be talking about because they are not the experts, I think what happened is, instead of making RDs feeling like they should get out there, and made them kind of recoil and feel like, well, maybe I cannot do this, or I shouldn't do this. And I think that that's what really made me, it actually is what made me develop my course, which is called How to Work with Media and Make the Media Work for You, because I wanted to try to find an easy route for RDs to just get into the media quickly. And it's the reason why my course is different is because it's the kind of thing that I like to do. I don't like busy workbooks. I don't like 5,000 modules. I just like something that is sort of like the cliff notes of, tell me how to do this, I'll figure it out. And that is the way that I learn. And that's why I did my course the way that I did. But I think that it's helped a lot of people to be able to not be afraid to reach out. And you don't have to have an agent, and you don't have to have a manager, and you don't have to have a long history of media exposure to work with the media today, like literally right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you a quick question about your course, which, by the way, we've linked to in our show notes. So if anyone's interested in taking a closer look, you can always, you know, follow that link. But I want to ask you, in early on, you know, you mentioned about when you first started, there was no internet, there was no social media, it was just TV and print. And so, of course, media has evolved to now include social media, which maybe some dietitians who are a little bit nervous to get into this realm, maybe they would feel more comfortable starting with that. So in your course, do you kind of talk about different approaches with different types of media, whether it's print, TV, on camera, off camera, that sort of thing?
You must have looked at my outline. No, I did. I do actually. I talk about all forms of media because that's something where I'm really honored to say that I have worked with every form of media that there is. And they each have their own unique ways of getting your messages across. For example, whether it's podcasts or radio, I love to do radio, but you really do need to sort of paint pictures with words, because it's something where someone can't see your expression. So you need to have that expression in your voice. You need to know how important pauses are, but not pauses for too long, because then you can lose your audience. So yes, I cover magazines, online, radio and podcasting, TV, video, all of that is on there. What to wear for the interviews. In fact, even something as that you may not think is that when you do TV, sometimes they'll say, okay, we're going to do your hair and makeup, so just show up at the studio at X time. Well, I never listen to that. I'm happy that they will do my hair and makeup, but I do my hair and makeup at home myself. And then when I get to the studio, I'll let them touch it up, do false eyelashes and stuff like that. But I would never go to a studio without makeup and without my hair done because of you could be stuck in traffic and get there late. They could change their minds about programming and say, you know what, you were supposed to go on fourth, but we're putting you on second. So there's no time to really do that stuff. And I would never want to go on TV without full makeup and my hair done. So I think that that's something that, again, I mentioned in my course, but those are things you wouldn't otherwise know unless you did something like that.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Way long time ago, like I want to say in 2019, maybe we had, she's a Canadian dietitian. Her name is Sue Ma. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's a media dietitian in Canada and she did a webinar for us. And some of the things that she talked about were so simple, like what you just described. But if you hadn't ever done anything on camera, you wouldn't know. And it could definitely be something that if you didn't know and you did the wrong thing, it would be very obvious that it was the wrong thing after the fact, you know, but in the moment, you just never would have known. So
for sure.
I can see where having like the media course and having someone like you guiding a new dietitian or someone who's interested in getting into media, how that could be really, really helpful toward boosting your confidence and making you feel like you can do it.
And you know, there's all different things that you could do. I think that there might be a lot of people listening who say, I am never going on TV. I'm not interested at all. Well, you know, media doesn't just mean TV because it could be writing. And, you know, you mentioned social media. You don't have to dance and point and learn how to do the fanciest captions or any of that stuff either, because you could do voiceovers. You could just do so many different things that help get your messages across in a very cool, attractive way without really having to even show your face. So don't feel intimidated by that. And I think that holds a lot of people back from getting out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about kind of like how and why dietitians might be interested in getting into media. And so we talked a couple of weeks ago and you told me that you had recently posted a semi-pointed question to a Facebook group and you received some pretty unexpected results. So I'm going to let you talk about what question it was and what the results were. Then we can kind of get into dissecting that a little bit more.
Well, I think the more dietitians that I coached and the more I heard about their lack of confidence, I thought I would post something that really simply said, if you could do it all over again, would you be a dietitian and why? And I was so disappointed to see that more than half of the respondents said no. And I'm talking about a lot of people. I put it on Facebook and there were several hundred responses, but I'm not talking about likes or thumbs up or reactions. I'm talking about like written responses. And then I put it on LinkedIn and there were 13,000 views, the same post and lots of responses. Here's what a lot of people were saying is that they were disappointed with the money that they were making, the lack of respect, feeling overwhelmed, overworked. And this just made me feel so sad, but it made me feel even more strongly about what I do and my course, about why working with media could be so important for you. And I'll tell you why, because when I started out doing media work, I worked at a full-time job, as I mentioned, at the hospital. I would leave my job and then go home. And as a dietitian, I worked pretty early in the morning. And in the afternoon, when I would be home, I would write for magazines. Or if I had to do a TV show, I could do an early morning TV show and then go to work. So I was able to not quit my day job so that I could still have my benefits and still make a salary. But that salary was really not terrific by any means. And a lot of that has to do with so many things. Also, insurance reimbursements for hospitals, for your services. I mean, this is, again, a podcast for another time. But I knew that I had to find a way to make more money and also have more fun. So working with media was something that really helped me with my own financial satisfaction, but also professionally, it really built my reputation and built my credibility among my peers, but also among brands, among associations. I mean, I love this. I just love when I go to something like Fancy and people say, oh, I see your name all over the place. It's really a great feeling. And believe me, I'm not bragging because it takes a tremendous amount of work to make this happen. And this is years, 30 plus years of a career. This doesn't just happen in a day. And that's why you also don't see me posting anything about how much money I make, because first of all, it's not really anybody's business, but this job can be incredibly lucrative, but that's not the way that you usually start out. So I think that if you keep your options open and you get out there and you realize that there is a lot of money to be made, but it takes a certain techniques and certain skills to do it, it's worth the investment to invest in yourself to learn how to do this and to realize that you can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like, you know, your early career journey is probably similar to a lot of dietitians who might be listening now, is that they started out in a healthcare type environment, but then you started to do extra things or have a side gig or, you know, as you mentioned, in the writing or an early morning TV interview. And one thing led to another, and now you're not working in healthcare anymore. And, you know, you're sort of on this different path. So what are some of the ways that dietitians, you know, if they're in a similar situation, so they're working in a healthcare environment, they're not very satisfied with what they're doing, maybe they want to make more money, they want to have more flexibility, which are things we hear from dietitians all the time. What are some ways that they can just get started? You know, they probably can't quit their job and, you know, be Bonnie Top Dicks quite yet, but just getting their foot in the door and getting started with these types of opportunities.
Well, believe it or not, now it's easier than ever to do so. And what I'd say is the best way to start is by doing your homework. Try to think about what your dream job would be or dream placement would be. And, you know, let's say it's writing for Shape magazine, just like pulling it out of the air, just writing for Shape magazine. Well, I would be reading everything that's in Shape magazine from this month, last month, next month, and maybe from last year around this time of year. And also recognize that a lot of magazines, I'm not talking about online, but paper magazines work on a 4-month lead. So like right now, we probably would be talking about spring and writing a spring story for the magazine. But I would just read the stuff that they already have online to see how you can piggyback on that. What can you add to a story that was done? Maybe reach out by seeing what a reporter did and contacting them online on their social posts. Write comments on their posts. Look up your favorite reporters and see what they've already done and introduce yourself. Let them know that you're there for them if they need you. And I think that this is something that is so important because once you build your reputation, like for myself, for example, I get calls all the time from reporters from Insider because they got my name from somebody else from Insider. And they got my name from somebody who's their friend who works at a different publication. So once you build your reputation, it becomes magnetic. And then people want you because it's not just you who wants this job. They want and need you. They have space to fill. They have the airwaves that they want to fill. And they want people like you, but they need to know that you're credible, that you could be concise in what you have to say, that you could be funny. Yes, funny is also key. You know, these are things that you really can do and ways that you could get started today. So whether it's, you know, looking at the byline, looking at who wrote a story that you like, that you wish you were quoted in, and then clicking on that reporter's name and maybe contacting them is an excellent way to get started. That used to be in the past, it would be a phone call or a letter. Now it could be an email or a comment on a social post.
Yeah, I love the point that you said, you know, show them that you can be concise, that you can be funny, that you can be personable. And I would also say relevant. Stay in touch with what the current trends in nutrition are. What does the general public want to learn about? What questions do they have about nutrition? And then maybe pitch an idea that, you know, if you have a private practice or questions that you frequently get from your patients and say, I have a lot of patients who are asking about X, Y, and Z. So I'd love to write an article for Shape or for whatever and talk about X, Y, and Z, because, you know, that's a relevant topic right now.
Yep. I'm really glad you brought that up because it reminds me. So I have two newsletters. One of them is for media training. And that if you go to my Instagram at BTD Media, you could click the link in my bio. And it's called BTD Media Makers. And it's a free newsletter. And I don't put it out that often, maybe every other week, maybe once every 3 weeks. So it's not going to crowd your inbox. But it's all of my favorite tips about media training. And I think that you'll really enjoy it. But the other newsletter that I have is called Better Than Dieting. At that newsletter, I've been doing that newsletter for about 9 years. And I have several thousand people who follow. But in that newsletter, I always put the articles that I'm quoted in. And the reason why that's so helpful for anyone who wants to work with media is because you literally can see the headlines that reporters are writing stories on and what they're looking for. So every newsletter will have only 3 stories in there that I've been quoted in top tier publications. And you could really follow what these publications are looking for. So I would encourage you to follow that newsletter too, if you'd like, so that you could see what media is actually looking for.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we have both of those linked in the bio, or not, excuse me, not the bio, the show notes. If you want to sign up for those, I know I'm signed up for, I think, the Better Than Dieting one. So anyway, yeah, I think there are a lot of resources out there, especially resources that Bonnie has that can help you get started. Just to piggyback another, what you mentioned about staying relevant, being funny and personable. We did an interview a couple of episodes ago with Jessica Isaacs, the sports RD. And so she's very popular on social media. One thing that she mentioned was knowing your audience. And so are you trying to reach dietitians? Are you trying to reach physicians? Are you trying to reach the general public? And even if you're trying to reach the general public, dialing it down further, are you trying to reach females, males, what age group, you know, what type of niche are you trying to reach? So any advice on that, like finding who your audience is?
Yeah. So I have a kind of a funny story about that. So I attended this lecture on gut health and the microbiome, and I was just fascinated by it. And the two doctors who spoke were really experts in their field. They wrote this wonderful book on it. So I called them, I interviewed them, I wrote this story, and I was writing for top tier publication at the time. I won't say what it was, but everybody knows what it is. Anyway, I wrote a story and I sent it to them, and they wrote back and said, we're going to take a pass on this. I don't think that it works right now. So I said, okay, how about this? And I changed the title to 10 Ways to Beat Belly Bloat, and they loved it. So I kind of wrote about the same thing, but in a different way for them. And I wound up selling my other story to a completely different publication who was really much more science oriented. If you want to write a story about the microbiome and you're very science oriented, don't send that to Cosmopolitan magazine to pitch them, but the belly bloat story might work for them. So this is what when I said before about looking at the stories that are in my newsletter and the ones I get quoted in, you need to know what the readers are looking for and speak in the language that they are speaking in. Because if you can't speak someone's language, just think about traveling to another country and trying to ask for directions when you don't even know how to ask for it, you're not going to get anywhere. And I think that that's probably a skill that is really important to develop. But if you feel like it's very hard for you to write sciencey kind of things, then those are not publications you should be pitching to. And also, as part of my course, I also have a bonus on writing pitch letters. And I do talk about pitching in my course as well, because that's really what's key, because so many reporters and editors get thousands of emails a day. how are you going to make yours stand out?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is really what's so important, because you may have the best information and be the best person to talk about it, but unless you know how to grab attention, you're not going to get that, your name in the news.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, is we have so many, you know, non-dietitian nutrition influencers who are very effective at making themselves visible and making themselves heard. But dietitians, many dietitians have the knowledge, but they lack that ability to get themselves out there, or they're not confident, or they just don't know how to go about it. So
I just wanted to say something else that, you know, things have also changed a lot in terms of what publications are looking for. In my opinion, it's become kind of sad where they basically are looking for SEO, and they're what people are searching for, which may not really be the kind of things that I would necessarily want to write about or talk about. So very often I'll get questions from reporters, hey, could you tell me like the 5 worst burgers you could eat at fast food joints? You know, if it's a story I feel like responding to, I might. But if it's not really my thing, instead of just taking a pass on it and saying, sorry, I don't eat burgers and I don't eat in fast food joints, what I'll say is, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather give you information on your intro. Let me give you a great intro and let me give you a great finishing line. And to me, when I'm quoted in a story, I'd rather be in the intro and I'd rather be in the powerful ending than even be quoted throughout the story.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't necessarily like the topic, but you do have something you could add, then don't take a pass on it.
That's a great piece of advice. You know, how can you, if it's not your thing, how could you potentially still get some benefit out of it or still get a win for yourself? So, and this has been a wonderful conversation, Bonnie. I feel like I want to run out and buy your media toolkit or training course. This has been fantastic. I'm really curious to look in it and learn a little bit more about what's in it, because it sounds like there's really something for everyone.
There is. And as I said, you know, it also comes with a workbook, but it's not like a busy book. It's a workbook that actually makes you think in a more introspective way about things that you really like to do. What do you want to do? Like not the someday kind of thing, but that the someday is today. So it comes with a workbook. It also comes with my favorite audio video equipment, where you could literally set up your own home studio. It also comes with a media makeup kit, which really basically tells you the kind of makeup that I love, including like moisturizers, makeup for media, all that kind of stuff, because that's important too. And I do love to paint, but I like to put on makeup too. So that's in there. So it comes with a lot of things. And the other thing that also makes my course different is that everyone knows who took my course, that if they have any questions or if there's anything that they want to talk about further, they know where to find me. So I am there hands-on to elaborate on any questions that anyone would have. And I really encourage your audience to reach out to me and ask me any questions they have related to media. Because just like when I still have a private practice, and a lot of the patients that are in my private practice, I have known for many, many years. Like today, I actually spoke to 2 people, one I know for 25 years and the other one I know for 20 years. And it's not that I'm not helping them. It's that they literally love to talk to me every week about all these different things, sometimes even their diets. But I think that when you know that there's somebody there who's a real person who you could talk to, and it's not just a course that you take that just like leaves you hanging, I think that it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, absolutely. I think that we as a profession can benefit so much from, you know, talking with each other, learning from each other. I know everyone who listens knows that my, you know, bread and butter is like continuing education. And that's what I've done for the past several years with Dietitians on Demand. Maybe about a year ago, I got in touch with Becky Dorner. I'm sure you know her. And it was just like kind of this moment that I was like, I can't believe I'm actually talking to Becky Dorner. And so, but we've talked several times since then. And it's just so great that she has such a collaborative attitude. And she said to me one time, you know, you and I are sort of competitors, but also I believe that there's room for everyone at the table. And so I think that that's such a great attitude for all of us to have as a profession, that we should all move forward together and we should all get the message of nutrition out there and work together for that purpose.
Yeah, well, many people have asked me why I would have a media training business when that's my thing. You know, it's something that I'm known for. So why do I want the competition? And the reality is that I feel very strongly about RDs getting their faces and voices out there, because I don't want other people representing, you know, nutrition or acting like they are the nutrition experts when they're not. So to me, it's something I have never felt competition about that. And I have always felt like it's important to do that. In fact, many, many years ago, I remember giving courses that were called Mind Your Own Business, because I was teaching how to really have a private practice, because 80% of what I did in those days was private practice and how to build your business. So I think that a lot of people know also that when they come to me for media training, sometimes they have private practices as well. And of course, they ask for tips on that too. So that's just a little bonus side effect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really hope that our listeners will check out your media course. It sounds like it's a great resource. And if you want to follow Bonnie on social media, we have all of her social media. We've got Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and then also her website, betterthandieting.com. We've got all that linked in the show notes, as well as her media course and her Media Makers newsletter that you can sign up for. So Bonnie, I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing your story. And I hope that you've encouraged, I definitely think that you have encouraged some of our listeners to move forward in media, even if they don't make a career out of it, just something that can get them out there, give them a little bit of variety, and hopefully help them feel a little bit more satisfied and happy with their career choice.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's also fun. I mean, it is really fun to do this. And I would really love to see if someone does listen to this podcast and then gets their name in the news in whatever form, please tag me. You know, don't brag about it. Don't be afraid to show what you know. But I would love it if you would tag me, because that really just warms my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Well, we're going to sign up for today. And thank you again to Bonnie. And thank you everyone for listening. And we will see you next time.
As a listener of Dietitians Only, your opinion matters. What do you like about the podcast? Who do you want us to interview next? We invite you to visit our show notes to complete a quick survey. It only takes a few minutes, and your feedback will help us create future episodes you'll love. Dietitians On Demand employs hundreds of dietitians nationwide and elevates the profession with simple yet effective practice resources, like this podcast. Don't forget to stay connected with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.